much. I think we kind of forget about Elisha, and yet he's a tremendous man of God who does tremendous things for the Lord and is so swiftly obedient, and but he sometimes gets a little overlooked. You ever felt overlooked? Come on now, you know you have told me you felt overlooked, so come on. Yes, sometimes we feel overlooked, and that's okay, but it's not a good feeling, right? When we have that feeling of being overlooked or not thought of, it isn't a good feeling, right? Yes, and so just know today that you are loved, and I would encourage you today that even though many of us have looked over the life of Elisha, there is tremendous things here. And so today we're going to kind of skip through, but I want to give you some advice first. Are you ready for it? Yes, you've been waiting all week, so you want to learn something from me. And so I'm going to teach you a couple of things. There are things that I didn't see before I got married that I see now that I wish I didn't see. Does that make sense? Somehow, well, no, I'm sorry, that probably didn't make any sense. That's a little too far, but I didn't mean it like the way you're probably taking it. I meant it as in, like, when I was a single dude in my apartment, I didn't think about the baseboards. Do you know what I'm saying? But being married, I think all the time about the baseboards. Oftentimes, when I'm on the potty and the doors open and close because the kids are just in and out, I can see because you're closer to the floor, right, when you're on the potty. And so I see the dust and I get off and she'll say, what are you doing? I'm going to get the wipe because I see the dust. And I just see things that I never saw before. And so another thing I see, thanks to my wife, like I said, these are things I don't want to see, is have you ever looked at your shower head? Come on now, y'all. You know when that stops working and you wonder why only three streams of water are coming through? Well, it's because we live in Indiana and the water is hard and it's calcified and it doesn't go through. You got to clean that mess so you get your full pressure in your shower. So I got some ideas for you. Take a bag of vinegar, wrap it around your shower head, tie it with a twist tie, and let it sit there until you're ready for the shower. Leave it there. A lot of you probably do that. Leave it there for a couple of hours. It'll disintegrate and work better than you rubbing your thumbs on it. You ever loan anything out? Yeah, most of us have done that, and we've learned from it, right? Because we never get it. If you loan something to us, there is no telling. Our van is like a warp hole, and our house is a warp hole, and things just happen to stuff. And so you give us a crock pot, and a week later say, where's that crock pot? And I say things like, I don't know, but I will find it for you, okay? I'm all about the disposable. But take a picture of it, right? As the person leaves, say, hey, can I get a picture of you and that item? That's sweet, isn't it? I wouldn't suggest doing that, but I thought it was a good thing. So for those of you that like iced coffee, here's another thing I've learned with my wife. She likes iced coffee. I always say I want it extra hot. And she says, well, if you know anything about coffee, to get the antioxidants, it has to be cold brew, that actually the heat kills a lot of the, y'all don't want to know this, but anyway, I'm teaching you today. And so if you like iced coffee, you put it in the ice cube trays, you put it in the freezer, and then when you go to ice your coffee, you're icing it with coffee instead of it being watered down like an hour later when it melts and it's watered down. Solved. See? I don't know about you, but we have an electric stove, and I don't really like electric stoves because you can't make that much of a mess, and we tend to make a mess because things happen. You leave stuff boiling. If you put a wooden spoon over top of your boiler, it doesn't work. Not all the time. It depends on how much water is in there. But it helps when you know your levels of your pot and you put it over there. It'll prevent it a little bit because it kind of absorbs some of the, but don't expect it to work if you overfill your pot. That's not my fault, okay? Because it actually has. I've put a wooden spoon there, and it's still, you're right. Use a straw. Now, this is a great one. You got to have a heavy-duty straw, the new metal ones, you know, they have now because we're trying to be disposable. Well, you use those, and you can pop a strawberry stem right off. You go from the bottom, push it through, pull it out. Y'all been using the knife. Anyway, and Pastor Gary, this is a good one for you. He paints a lot, just by the way, and he's very good at it. You place a large, extra large rubber band around the paint can when you go to paint, and you can use that with your brush to wipe off the excess, or you can just let it go on your rug. Okay, and the last thing is, and this is my favorite one, another thing I've learned because my wife loves bacon, but see, bacon does something different to her than it does to me. I grow, she doesn't, you know what I'm saying? But we eat a lot of bacon, and whenever we're going to do BLTs, you lace the bacon. Cut it in half, you lace it, you fry it that way, and it's a square right on your, you know, like lacing, y'all ever do crochet, you lace it, Okay. Or like pies. You know how you lace your pies? Cut that baby in half, two pieces, lace it. It's perfect. Cook it that way, flip it, and you're done. So, again, this week, when you go home, you can say, I finally learned something from that ridiculous pastor we got. Okay. So take a picture of it before they take it down, and you can go home and say, I've learned something. Well, we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 18, and I'm going to go a little bit further before your study when you get home. I want you to really focus in on this kind of transfer of power, okay? We're going to call it this, the transfer of power. Now, if you remember, oftentimes when we are hacked, and I'm calling Elisha, his life was kind of life hacked. He went from being a farmer, really taking care of the oxen, taking care of his family. The Lord came in and everything changed. His whole life was hacked. His whole life was different. And if we would let the Lord come into our lives in that way, we could experience this over and over and over again. Because Elisha's life goes from interesting to more interesting to more interesting. So what I want to encourage you to do today is go home and read how Elijah, okay, speaks into Elisha. We're going to skip that journey. That's your homework. And so you can go home and study that and see how he and Elisha partnered together in ministry and how Elisha watched him over the days and years grow into the man that we're going to see today. Okay, if you got your Bibles, if you would stand for the reading of God's word this morning. Now, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, this is number one, Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today," these are the good friends, right, that come in and say, "Hey, don't you know your friend's dying? Don't you love those people? You know it's happening, but they like to remind you." This is them. And the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep quiet." Elisha said to him, "Elisha, please stay here." Number two, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets, the encouragers, who were at Jericho, drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Then Elisha, what if we said that to naysayers? Ooh, I can't, but you can. Then Elisha said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, third time, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, this is fascinating, and struck the water, and the water was parted to the one side and to the other, till the two of them could go over on dry ground. Imagine just taking your coat off today, going to the stream, hitting it, and it just... When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you." Think about this. Ask. This is tremendous, church. This is where we fail. "Ask for what I shall do for you before I'm taken from you." Elisha said, "Please, let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." Whew. Come on, church. Imagine if we went to our grandparents and they said, How can I bless you? How can I pray for you? I just want more of whatever it is that you have in your... You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. You see the little test in there? Come on now, church. This is good reading right here. This is Bible reading. He was saying, you were supposed to follow me. I wanted to see your persistence. The Lord wanted to see if you were for real about this amidst all the naysayers. And he says, it shall be so for you, but if you do not see me, it shall not be so, meaning you should have been here and you are here. And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah went up in a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen, and he saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces, and he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And when he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. Now when the naysayers who were at Jericho saw him opposite of them, they said this, the spirit of Elijah rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. God, we just ask today, Lord, that your spirit would come and move, the same spirit that we just read about, that we see, that we hear, that we understand. We ask today, God, that you would come in power and in might and move in our lives today. God, wake us up today. Allow these words, these living words, to be living in our heart as we go out today. And so today we come against the enemy. We come against the naysayers. We come against those who will try their best when we leave this place to bring us down. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And we say, no, not today. Today is your day. Tomorrow is your day. The next day is yours. And today we trust that you would come in power so that we can go out in power. We rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus, and we pray today that your holiness and goodness would be known here. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. I love that. Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind. Honestly, what a beautiful moment that had to be. He didn't have to die of old age. I think if you study, you'll understand that he knew that his body was getting to the end, so he even knew the time was coming. But how beautiful a relationship that he and God had, that God decided to take him through chariots in a whirlwind and relieve him from the death that we will experience. A couple of things here. I want to just give you some background so you kind of understand. There's this term, sons of the prophet. God called prophets that were originally formulated, and if you know this well, when Jezebel cut off the prophets, meaning they were going after the prophets, and they formulated this kind of club, so clubs were clubs before clubs, and you see oftentimes in the scripture where there's large groups of prophets together, living together, residing together. In this scripture, you see them come out to speak what? Even the prophets sometimes don't speak the best things. To speak and say, why are you following him? The Lord's about to leave him. Why don't you go and... But see, there's something in Elisha that wasn't in the prophets that knew that he needed to draw into Elijah. We also know that they were originally established in this area as well. And so we kind of get this organization called the Sons of the Prophets. What's beautiful is in this passage, we get to see them go from naysayers to the one saying, why are you? To the one saying, something is different about you. Church, we should be the people, because the same spirit that rested on Elisha rests hopefully on you. As God-fearing, good people of the Word, going after all that He has for us, we should be seen by others, right? With the Spirit resting on us. So we're going to go through three things here. Now, I stopped with the scripture so you could kind of get this, and you'll see this theme all throughout scripture, and that is the number what? Three. Yes, you got it. You figured I was doing that for a reason. The number three, what's significant here is that he pushed into, and I want to use this language, he pushed into Elijah three times. Three times, guess what happened? The naysayers came and said, three times Peter did what? Come on now. Let's start comparing people. I hate to do that, but it's important. It's important here because all of what Elisha does relates to the experiences that Jesus had. Peter did what? He pushed in and he denied Jesus how many times to a young girl? Three times. He had 50 God-fearing people three times come up to him and say, "Why in the world are you, church?" There are people that will come into you when you know that you know that you know the Lord is speaking into your heart. And there are going to be people, because the enemy does this, and he uses good God-fearing people too to speak mistruths into us. And Elisha told them to what? Be quiet. Church, this was his peers. In fact, if we understand this group well enough, they were bred for this. Elisha was called out for this. And I'm pretty sure that most of you here today were not born into the Jewish faith. And so we were called into and called out of and brought into and allowed to be a part of. Church, this is significant. So you've got this three here. Three reminds us of the Trinity, reminds us of 3 days. It also shows Elisha's determination to push into Elijah. What's interesting is the communication that, and remember, Elijah is kind of funny with Elisha. He doesn't speak a ton. A lot of what Elijah does, as you read, and you could say, well, he does speak, he speaks a lot, but not a ton. A lot of what Elisha gets to see from Elijah is what? It's being lived out. He didn't say to Elisha, hey, guess what we're going to do here? Now, you know about parting water, right? We're going to go ahead and, no, Elijah just kind of did his thing, and Elisha was kind of that one that, you ever get tired of those people that kind of follow you around and want to do everything you want to do? It's called kids, hopefully, anyway. And so they're at that stage where and I love this stage because I got some of them, they kind of flip-flop. They go through the stages at a different time. I embrace that stage because I want that stage. I want them to see. I want them to know. I always think of that country song. I shouldn't bring up country songs, but that country song where my boy saw me, and then I saw him praying, but I also saw him say something else, and he realized, like, everything he was doing, the boy was what? Reflecting. And so, church, here, Elisha's like, if you're going, then I'm going to draw in even more to you. Church, are you drawing into? When the naysayers come once, twice, three times, after the third time, are you still pushing in? Or are you, all right, I get it. Man, too often Christians, by the time we get to the third push, we just say, well, they kind of know what they're doing, so we should just. But three here, and it should be a testimony to us today, represents determination. It represents the fact that there is something about Elisha. Now, many of you will say, well, what's so cool about Elisha? Elisha and Jesus, right? Jesus did the most miracles recorded in the Bible. Guess who did the second? See, if I quizzed you on this before we talked about Elisha, what would you say? I did this in my other church, but it's Paul. You know what I'm saying? Most people would say, well, Paul did, or the apostles did. No, Elisha did. Man, this also relates to Peter, who was given three chances. It also reminds us that when we look at the two in relation, it reminds us that when Jesus, what? When he went to pray and he called people to pray with him, what did they do? They fell asleep. Not Elisha. See, Elijah was coming to. Church is significant. Elijah didn't die. Thankfully, our Savior's alive. And so here today, we see that Elisha leaned in, and then he leaned in, and then he leaned in. And what a beautiful look to the future. What it tells us is that if we'll lean in, he'll lean back. When Jesus brings a life hack moment, how do we receive it? Elisha got that he needed to see every moment that he could, glean everything from Elijah that he could. And I think, and this is total interpretation, I think he wanted to see how God took Elijah. Because I think if you really understand kind of the push in his heart, he knew something spectacular was going to happen. and he didn't want to miss it. And church, when we lean into him, and then we lean into him, and then we lean into him, we should be expecting something spectacular to happen. Something spectacular happened on the third day, and that was the tomb was no longer empty. You know what happens when we push into him and we push into him and we push into him? Those moments that he hacked us a long time ago, we get to see the reality. But see, in our day and age, what do we want to do? We want the Lord to come in, do it right away, which is great because he does that as well. And we don't want to lean in because a lot of times we lean in, we have to do what? We have to go a different direction than everybody else. We have to give up things. We have to sacrifice. But once we get there, imagine how beautiful it was. And imagine how beautiful it could be for you. So the second thing, there were other voices. Y'all ever have other voices? All right, there's two kind of voices, okay? And so if you have those kind of voices, don't see me, see somebody else. And they're legitimate. They happen. I've heard them. And so, but I speak to somebody about them, and today's not the day for that. But then there are other voices that speak into us. You ever have anyone speak into you? You ever have anybody speak into you ill? Will? Because they're speaking out of their selfishness, out of their frame of reference, and they go and they try to push into you. Here is what is key, church. Because I think many of us come here today with baggage, with hurt, with stuff that I believe has come from other voices that try to push into our minds, our hearts, and change our direction. Sometimes other voices are good. You know, the voice here that was good, Elijah's. The voice that was silent but on the move, the Spirit of God, that was parting the water, that wasn't actually Elijah. It was the power of God working through him and his willingness to let the power of God work through him. But oftentimes, we are not the encouragers. And I know I kind of prepped us for this last week. But church, if we're going to see the movement of God continue, we can't be like these other voices. And if we are, when it starts to happen, we better do what they did, which was what? Immediately change their hearts. This is what I like about this, because we're not always going to get it right. Sometimes those other voices are going to come. Then we're going to see what really happened, and we're going to say, okay, I wasn't right this time. I can admit it. See, the problem is the church is we have so much pride that we can't admit when somebody else was hearing the Lord a little bit closer than we were. We don't like that uncomfortable feeling or place. But my goodness, when we can see that, recognize it, and know it to be true and say, you know what? We see it. We're with you. Because guess what? They saw the Spirit of God that they had just previously seen on Elijah, and they knew what Elijah did, right? And they saw it in him and said, oh, we're going to get on board because we don't want to miss whatever is next. But see, when the pride gets in the way and we're a part of those other voices, oftentimes we just sit it out. We'll wait for the next pastor. What if little Joe's going to stay here till? Because it ain't your decision or mine, right? And so you want to wait that long? That's what the prophets said. They said, we ain't going to wait that long. We're going to get with and get going on. And because the movement of God does what? It never stops. We stop. It doesn't stop. So, how much influence do the other voices have? Hey, if they're Elijah, listen up. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you had the very Elijah who got to get in a whirlwind taken up, then listen up. If it's the other voices saying, you should and why aren't you, and you know it's not from God, but they're good, godly people, then say, be quiet. I love you and I appreciate you, but it's not your time to speak. We don't like that in the church, do we? We're going to talk about it in Sunday school today because Paul does that a lot. If we really get with good, solid people in the Word, they know what is and what isn't from who. We let people get in the way too much. 50 prophets, lots of words. They were part of a club. You know there's power in numbers, right? They came out. You know there's power in numbers, right? It makes a difference. What's interesting is in the Bible, oftentimes numbers mean nothing. He sends out a small little group to take care of. And what do? They take care of thousands, and they're just a couple of hundred. You can see it all throughout the Word. And here, Elisha was so dead set on hearing the truth, the important truth, the necessary truth, that he disregarded the voices around him. And church, unfortunately, they were good voices. And they were voices that in a little bit were going to be the voices that were behind him, going with him. See, sometimes we think we're going to have to persevere through it. Sometimes it's just a movement, and when God moves, like, okay, we're here. That's some healthy people. They were healthy people. They just were off course for a moment. The problem is when someone else goes off course and we let them take us off course, then who's leading the course? What if Elisha said, you know what? Y'all been doing this a lot longer than me. Let's just sit out and see what God does. You know what he wouldn't have picked up? The cloak. You know what wouldn't have happened immediately? The parting of the... You know what then wouldn't have happened? They would have seen from the distance the Spirit of God coming. Whew. See, that's the problem with missed opportunities. The third thing. The request. Oh, church, I don't know about you, but if you take the Old Testament and say, who do I want to emulate in the Old Testament? And what do I want to say like he said? He asked Elisha. Now, Elisha was amazing, and he said, give me more of that. He didn't say, give me more of me. He didn't say, give me more of the 50 behind me. He just said, I see in you something incredible, and I know it's of God, so I'll just take more of that. It was for a double portion. Elijah responds the same way that Jesus did in his last moments. Here's what's significant about this. The disciples did what? They fell asleep. Y'all, some of you are asleep, and I don't mean literally right now. Most of you, I can tell, are awake, but I mean asleep. And the movement of God is like, whew, 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 and you're napping through it. Here's what's significant. These disciples who had the very Jesus in front of them, they fell asleep. They were tired. They were, man. And here's little old Elisha, who was plowing with 12 oxen just a little while ago, saying, I want everything that, plucked out of nowhere. Not really. He was plucked out of his faithfulness. He was plucked out of a heart that was ready. He was plucked out of a family that said, against all odds, we're going to serve the Lord. And here we see him understand so well the beauty of what it means to have the presence of God in our heart, that he said, all I want is more of the presence of God. Imagine if that was your morning request to the Lord. All I want is more of you. Simple. We sing it, we pray it, we ask it. But the difference is, do we mean it like this? The two prophets were forced apart by the fire and chariots, a separation from that which guided him, set him to soar. Oftentimes, now I want you to think about this, oftentimes good things are keeping us from soaring. Elisha went on to soar after these moments. Now, Elijah wasn't necessarily holding him back, but I don't know about you, when you cage something up that God didn't intend to be caged up and was just being prepared and prepared. Think about it. When Jesus was unleashed and it was time for the Holy Spirit to come, it was powerful. It was crazy. When Elisha passed the Spirit, same Spirit, right, that was passed on to Jesus when he began his ministry, was passed from Elisha to Elisha, And all of a sudden, Elisha goes, and we're going to talk about it the next couple of weeks. He goes crazy in a great way. And that the power of God rests on him. And he does tremendous things. And the Lord uses him in tremendous ways. But see, here's the thing. And I want you to think about this. Sometimes good people, sometimes good things are in the way of you really. So you wanted me to say it was the world, right? That's keeping you from the promise. That's not the case here. It was good, godly people speaking, hey, just go and relax. And church, we're not living in a day when we need to relax. I just spent a week with pastors who had the same heart, praise God, that are saying we can't relax. There's actually no more time to relax. And I'm not saying that's all we've done. But we've allowed good to get in the way of great. We've allowed good to get in the way of God's unleashing of his people. And so, I want you to think about this. Are you all that God envisions you to be? The answer for me this week has been no. And I say this as a joke, but I'm going to tell you for real. Do you know what gets in my way? People. Because they get in my head. And I start talking in my head to the Lord about some of you. And I just mean that in general, not this church. Y'all are pretty amazing. We're actually doing pretty incredible things for the kingdom. But I mean in little things. Like let's just take, for example, discipleship, discipling a dude, and you share a truth of scripture. Well, Pastor, this isn't really why I wanted to talk to you. I'm like, oh, great. But that is why we should be, right? So let's not just think big, let's just think little. But here's the great thing. All the way in the Old Testament, there wasn't a little, a big, or a medium-sized thing that was going to get in the way of Elisha receiving the Spirit of God. And so today, I guess the question is, what is it that's in the way of you receiving all that God has for you and then doubled? You ever do math in school? 2 squared equals. That's what he wants to do to you, to AFC, to every church that has good God-believing, God-fearing people. So, what? What? What is it that God envisions for you that good is getting in the way of? That's your thought for the week. God, today as we go out, God, help us. Help us not to get in our heads and defeat the plans that you have for us. Help us not to look around, because this is a beautiful example. Elisha looked around and 50 good people saying, hey, rest a bit. Take a break. He's about to die. Didn't you hear? And Elisha said, be quiet. And so right now, I would just pray that maybe some of us sitting here need to say, be quiet to something that is speaking into us. Then I fast forward, Lord, and I think about Peter in those moments when he didn't say to the young woman, yes. In fact, yes, I know Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I love Jesus, and I'm going to draw into him right now. What a hard moment that would have been as Jesus was at the height of his persecution. And maybe for us today, God, if we draw in and tell the voices to be quiet, it'll get really hard. But the third day is coming. And all that hard work and sacrifice will pay off. Because with that third day comes eternal life. And so let us today draw into that, be reminded of that. And so today we ask for what you speak into our hearts to become truth and life, no matter what is being said around us. Protect this body of believers. God, they're tremendous. They've paved a tremendous way. And so today, Lord, go and be with them. Speak into them. Protect them. And call them into greater things. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for being a part. Don't forget about Sunday school. Have a good afternoon.
Desert place, the storms that rage.